On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Fuck. I'm boiled. On the Tall Can Sports Podcast.
Hey, Cone. Yes. It's a shout out to Cone. Guy I went to high school with.
David Cone. Longtime listener of the Tall Can Sports Podcast.
Nope. Cone isn't even in his name. I don't want to give his name out here. He may be.
No.
Who knows what his deal is.
No one wants
days.
To be mentioned here.
Cone. He also went with by Bird Jr. as a young man.
Sure.
Had a striking resemblance to Larry Bird.
Had his bird rules. On we went. Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. I don't remember. I may have already said that. Give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Instagram is the same handle. Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. And we haven't mentioned this in a while. If you want to get yourself a sweet little TCA hat, Patreon.com/Tall Can Audio. You can support the show there and we'll hit you with something back. So
do it.
What's up, man? We heard you just crack into something. What do we got going on today?
Little full-time IPA from Bose in beautiful downtown Van Cleek Hill, Ontario.
Nice.
Home of the Lug Tread, for those of you who...
Now, you're not big on the Lug Tread.
I don't mind the Lug Tread.
Oh, okay.
I've came back around to it. You're right, I wasn't. I went through a phase where I found it strikingly similar to the Tank House.
Really?
And then I sort of warmed to the Tank House again and... Then found that the Bose Lug Tread wasn't too bad.
He's a complicated man.
And for sure. I don't really know myself, so this is where I'm going. So I believe the full-time IPA is a new offering from Bose, so...
Well, you're seeing that more and more a little bit, right? Where some of these breweries, and I know Bose has done a few different things, but who made their name on one thing are starting to branch out a little. Steam Whistle has done the same down in Toronto with their...
Do one thing.
Vaughn Bugle?
I'm not sure.
Now it's do two things pretty good,
yeah.
I guess.
Do one thing really well. Now, yes.
Do a second thing adequately.
See, everybody listen. If you're going to hang your hat on the do one thing really well.
Better do it.
Keep in mind you have that whole jack of all trades.
Right.
Master of none.
Right. I am having.
What are you having, Matt?
The damn dark. Yeah. Damn dark lager. From the Thornberry Brewing Company. This is
the first offering you've had from Thornberry?
I had to look up where Thornberry was.
And?
Southwestern Ontario, kind of around Georgian Bay, that sort of area.
You still calling that Southwest?
It's Southwest-ish. So what do you want to call it?
I'd call it sort of Central North.
No.
Okay, no. Central...
Let's not allow this to... To sink the show.
Okay.
This isn't... it's only okay.
Okay. I'm loving it. If you like an IPA...
Yeah.
Give you a little crisp snap, a little hop in your step.
I was out the
Check out the full-time IPA, Bose.
I was out the other day and tried for the first time Mill Street's West Coast IPA, which I had never had before. It definitely delivers what it promises. Absolutely kind of a crisp IPA.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. Went down, had a couple of them. Went down pretty nice.
Man,
and
I got
before switching back to the the dark one there at a cobblestone stout out of Mill Street. So
see, I got home last night from a long day at an employee forum. Mm. Yeesh.
Shut up, stupids.
Yeah. Listen, fools. Poured myself a pint of Beyond the Pales aromatherapy.
Okay.
Hold it up. The sun's coming through the glass. You can't see through the other side. It's hazy and bright. Honestly, it's like a freshly broken egg yolk in a nice fried egg. It's awesome. Beautiful.
So, a couple of things to check out there as we finally inch our way into summer here. I think as we sit and record this, it's 16 degrees in mid-June.
Overcast, windy, and wet. Like, yeah. Sweet Jesus.
I believe it's coming. I do believe summer is...
Christmas he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure. I don't know. We got a couple places we could go here. The Stanley Cup is wrapped up. The NHL Awards just ahead. Why don't we sort of start, because it's been a few days now. We didn't really have a chance. If we have been asked a little bit online why there hasn't been more talk on the Stanley Cup wrapping up. To be honest, we had AJ Jakubek in studio on Wednesday night. That was just before Game 7. And we've had a couple other things to get to since then. So this is really the first chance we've had to sit down and kind of talk about how the cup wound up and how that all went. What was your takeaway from the series?
I loved it. And I know you felt sort of removed from it.
A little bit.
I
watched Game 7.
Game 7 to me, I was thrilled to see the Blues win and really more thrilled thrilled to see the Bruins lose.
Yeah.
Again, I was whole hog on the Bruins bandwagon for one round. And then honestly, as soon as they dispatched the Leafs again, hop right off. I hate you bitches.
Go Hurricanes.
Yeah. Go Blue Jackets. Go Hurricanes. Yeah. Now, I did say that the Bruins would beat the Hurricanes. What a layup. What a layup conference final that is. You're like, Carolina?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Carolina, if they make the playoffs,
they won't.
But they go deep. Like, they never make the playoffs, but when they do, it's a cup final here, it's a conference final there.
People are getting all on that hot rod bandwagon. You're like, they're not even making the playoffs next year. They're not building towards something. Hey, you guys, take a look at the 2016 Ottawa Senators. That's what you need to do. Or 17.
No one needs to do that.
17. That's deep run. You go, we're on it.
Woohoo!
We're doing something.
Let's trade some shit for
So I was super compelled by the final. I love the fact that, you know, they're dressing 14 Canadians. It may be,
xenophobe.
Old and dinosaur-ish of me, but I love the fact that they play a big heavy game. Did you see Pat Maroon after Game 7? He's like, yep, heavy hockey's back, baby. Fuck the speed. I think it's heavy, fast hockey is actually back, Pat, and you'll be out of a job next year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, right? Like, he's only 31 or 32. He does not skate very well, right? And it'll be interesting to see what St. Louis does with him. Right?
Okay, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I've heard it mentioned in a few places, and I'm interested in your take on it. Is it worth these types of guys, if you're going to face the same opponent over and over and over? And St. Louis did the same thing over and over and over. Would struggle out of the gate a little bit, but after 6-7 games with playing against them, you just wanted no more, right? And is it worth carrying some of a Pat Maroon, or you can go back through different cup champs and find did they have a big guy or two? Just they're not going to give you what you need in the regular season, but maybe you can put them low in the lineup and just know that if you can get there, that guy might be able to help you over a 7-game series more than he can Tuesday night versus
I've got hardcore on the Canadian bandwagon. Maroon is not Canadian.
No, St. Louis guy.
Yep. He was very ineffective in the cup final in terms of their heaviest and their hardest hitting line, consists of Barbashev, Sundqvist, and Steen.
Pretty skilled fourth line.
Well, this is it. But they were also the most aggressive forechecking line.
Yep.
And so you have one guy on that line with a with a dual passport, born in Winnipeg, but yeah. carries a Swedish passport, and then a Russian and another Swede.
Yep.
So to me, they were, their record when those three guys were in the lineup, outstanding, mm-hmm. right? And so, I'm not bringing Maroon back.
I think they will.
I think they will,
too. It's going to be unpopular for the hometown guy, you know, to not do it. But, you know, there was some talk last summer that he maybe, early on, he was blown away by how few offers he was getting.
Yeah.
Then turned down, he says, or I've read reports, he turned down one or two offers that were better than what St. Louis offered. He said, you know, if that's the difference, I'll go home. I'll be close to my kid, I'll whatever. So, which is admirable, if that's what you want to do. I don't mind the idea. Look, I've been all in on the Dubas type thing, right? These teams that go faster and more skilled, and you see this Stanley Cup final, you go, okay, well, we'll see here. But I kind of get the idea. It can't be a Colton Orr. It can't be a Matt Martin,
no.
right? It has to be a guy who maybe is only going to get you 10 or 12 goals in the regular season, but is still super effective in a, you know, third or fourth line role. And then when the playoffs come, maybe you can move him up onto the right side with somebody else and let him lean on people over and over and over night after night, right? The playoffs are a slightly different game in that regard.
Right. And they talk about, you know, just how heavy and big and fast Washington was last year.
Yeah.
Right. And then you look at this year, and as you said, and Pete DeBoer said it after the Sharks series, mm-hmm. he's like, it's no fun.
No.
Right. It's just, people talk about skill, people talk about speed. He's like, that's a big, fast team, and they just wear you down,
yep.
right? And so we'll be interesting to see over the next two drafts, right? We're sort of
yeah.
a week out of the draft now, but to see what kind of reaction there is to...
Well, this is always the thing. How much copycat do you try to... Like, when you look at Washington... There was nothing really to copycat. It was a fairly traditional, you got your top six guys, super skilled, can do their thing, but mixed in with some tough, heavy guys and some good penalty killers in the bottom six,
yep.
and a pretty mixed bag on defense. And you go, it's not a ton to copy there, right? But St. Louis and Boston, I don't think Boston's reputation is quite earned. Their bottom nine forwards, everything but that top line, was better than I expected it to be through the playoffs.
For sure.
But I wouldn't call them, they're not the big bad Bruins.
They are not.
That reputation, they still kind of get that name, but they're not really that anymore. But they are bigger and tougher than, say, a Toronto or a Carolina
right.
or a whatever. But St. Louis is more, you know, even some of their more high-end guys, like Braden Schenn, high in the lineup, he's not afraid to lay a hit or play that more gritty Ryan O'Reilly, nice two-way right. guy, right? Like, it's their blue line where you really look at the size and just how long they are, right? And you can have one Chara, and you just go, well, we'll just take advantage of the other two pairs. But when you have Parayko on one pair and Petrangelo on another, and then even that bottom pair at times with Dunn and Edmondson and the, you know, that we've mentioned, you know, it's
yeah.
not an easy thing to keep possession coming in on those guys.
Well, and what they kept saying over and over and over again throughout the playoffs is how hard it is to get to the center of the ice on that Blues decor.
Right.
Right. And as you say, they'll allow you the shot. They are not allowing a pile of secondary chances mm-hmm. or for you to cycle down low.
Right.
And what is the Bruins' biggest strength? Mm-hmm. Now, that top line has that east-west passing
yep.
as they come in, but they love to get it low and cycle it around, right?
Yeah.
They were just not able to do that.
Well, on the last edition of 31 Thoughts there that Elliot Friedman put out, he talked about that the strategy that Craig Berube and the Blues defense put in when they looked at that top line was those guys will take 1,000 different routes coming in. They're very creative. They know each other. They whatever, and we're not going to pay attention to a single one of them. We know where Pastrnak wants to get to. We know where Marchand wants to get to. We're just going to be there. Go ahead, circle all you want, cross all you want, do whatever you're going to do. We'll be where you're trying to get, right? And
yeah.
and it seemed to work pretty well for them.
Well, this is just the hint. Yeah, I think, it'll be interesting because you're right. You do have to go with, the size is great, but everybody's looking for size
yeah.
and speed.
Yes, and
right?
skill.
This
right?
is it.
Their biggest, St. Louis's biggest guy was maybe their most skilled defenseman there in Colton Parayko. Fuck, he was good.
He's
the bits
awesome.
I watched, yeah.
Yes. And that's the thing is, you know, when you have Pietrangelo, Bouwmeester, and Parayko
yeah.
eating up not just huge chunks of the game, huge chunks of space on the ice too, right? Just sticks out, just great placement.
I believe in the second period they said that Pietrangelo was on the ice for 9:35 of the second period of Game 7, and Parayko was on for 9:20. So how do you enjoy your less than a minute or just over a minute
yeah.
without them, right? Well, like, that's all Boston had in terms of if you're going to wait out those guys, you got a minute and a half to make hay on.
Well, so, and is there a more boring guy than Jay Bouwmeester?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I want to sort of move us over to this. It's coming out a lot more on the Boston side. It always does with the losing team. The winners had it too, but they're busy worried about other shit. Just how many injuries come out, what guys were playing through. You're seeing stuff with, you know, injured wrists here and a bunch of pulled groins and
yeah.
stuff like that. The one that stands out the most is Zdeno Chara,
oof.
Whose face was destroyed. And essentially, you know, he had a broken jaw and they had to put the full cage on him and whatever. It also has come out, Jake DeBrusque said the upper body injury that I've been battling since the first round continued to be a problem. That was a head injury. That's yeah. a concussion.
You are hearing, yes, that it may be concussion.
Like.
And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That to me is inexcusable.
Well, and everybody knew that in round one, right? And so this is sort of what I wanted to talk about. Are we getting closer to a point where, like, you used to look at this. I remember 2013, the Bruins lose to the Blackhawks in Game 6, and it turns out Patrice Bergeron's been playing with a punctured lung. That seems like a fairly serious injury. Fuck, yeah. That guy's a warrior, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I find myself more and more as we go going, fuck, that's stupid. Like, what? Are you, yeah. Like, at what point is... I don't know what a broken jaw did to Zdeno Chara. I know the 2-0 goal went right through his legs when they were setting it up.
Yeah.
At what point is 90% of Chara, 80% of Chara, 70% of Chara, when is it not as good as 100% of Clifton or whoever the next guy up on that Bruins defense Moore, was?
Or whoever it may be.
Sure.
Go
ahead. No.
To me, it becomes not even about that. And as we know more and more about athletes' long-term health, and especially with any injury suffered
right.
above the shoulders, how safe is it
mm-hmm.
for Chara to go out with that? Maybe he is only 90%, and I'm taking him at that.
But sure.
Where's his safety come into it where somebody says, hey, man, don't do that?
But don't you think, as a former athlete, you're looking at that guy who's knowing he's signed for another year or whatever, but he may not get here again. If you leave it up to him, he will go in.
For sure. And an athlete like him
yeah.
always feels like, I owe it and I'm yep. going to do this. Yep. And
someone else has to say to him, no, man, sit down.
And I was hoping for bad things for him. Not for him safety or health-wise.
Yeah.
I was hoping for bad results.
Yes.
Right? I wasn't going to give him the KD cheer when he goes down hurt. But yeah, I was hoping that, yeah, sorry, man, broken jaw. That's a bad break. Hope you're, you know, see you in the spring.
Yeah.
Or see you in the fall, sorry. Yeah. And you go, okay, see you later.
Jake DeBrusque with the head injury. Like some of these, right? Bergeron's groin. You got guys with broken. Remember Tyler Johnson in 2015 for Tampa playing against Chicago with a broken wrist. He couldn't take faceoffs and he couldn't shoot. Yeah, you're a warrior, man. You're tough, but what the fuck are you doing out there? Yeah. There's no way there's not someone who's more effective than you now.
Because you're not helping me.
Right. I'm glad you're this tough, but you got nothing to offer here now. So it just sort of makes me wonder, you know, maybe not with Bergeron and Marchand with what they were going through. Maybe you have to leave those guys in and whatever. But at some point, you're not as helpful. And the idea that this guy's a warrior and look at him go is sort of trumped by the fact that maybe this is just kind of stupid. Like, I get the concussion thing. To me, that's obvious. DeBrusque should have been pulled out. He shouldn't have played again. And someone either on that NHL protocol side or the Bruins medical side needs to be held accountable for that. They won't be, but should be. But just in terms of your more general injury, you know, you watch Klay Thompson stand up in Game 6, and he has to take 2 free throws on a torn ACL. Like, yeah, that's fucking tough, man, but get the fuck out of here. Like, and he did afterwards, but man. Like,
yeah. It's Yeah. You're talking about the fine line, the balance between you want to do this.
Yeah.
But maybe not even is it not healthy for you.
Right.
You're not helping us.
You're not even the best option we have now.
Right. And I looked around in preparation for this show to find injuries that Blues players were suffering from.
Right.
Could you find any?
No.
No.
Because you win.
Well, this is,
and you never find any from the champs.
This is what I'm saying. Are you left with? Because we knew Chara, and you know Grizzlick, you know, missed large chunks.
Bergeron, and ice time was down a few times. He was clearly battling something.
Right from the last, you know, early in the series, right? When you thought, okay, he may be out, and is it an abdominal injury? What is it? But you had to find out that Pastrnak fell leaving a team function in February, and okay, but that didn't seem to bother him.
Against Toronto for large
chunks of the season, right? To me, that's and then the Bergeron and say, yeah, I hurt my hand and then re-aggravated it in the scrimmage prior to the final,
right?
To me, there's a bit
suddenly that looks like a bad idea.
Yeah, and to me, there's at some point you're like, okay, you know what? Those are loser excuses.
Yeah, I think that's a separate issue.
Are we still hearing all these from the Blues if the Bruins win game 7?
Yes.
We are.
If the Bruins win, you would hear about the Blues injuries, I think. Yeah, because every year this happens. The champ goes off and has their awesome thing, and every year they give the list of, and it's kind of the local media, what was that guy playing through, what was whatever. They want to pump their guys up a little bit, I think, more than the team being, you know, losers. But I do think if the Bruins win, we're hearing about the Blues injuries right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm blaming the Bruins on this full on.
Fair. I'm not going to defend the Bruins, so we can carry on with that.
At the end of the day, you say, you know what? I had a wart on my ass. Did it really impact
you? Looking at me in the shower.
Yeah. No, I had a wart on my ass. I can't speak.
Oh.
I guess.
Okay. Well, then what's up, wart brother?
Yeah. That's funny how that's where you were. Hey.
The wart. Outing my wart.
That's me. Yes. Sorry about that. Got awful awkward in here.
For sure. I wonder if, like, because to me, this does always happen. Like I said, we hear the Bergeron punctured lung. We hear Tyler Johnson's broken wrist. We, you know, there's always somebody going through something. And when you play this long, I guess it is, but, you know, reasonable to expect guys are beat up. But you never hear it from the champs because they're not feeling anything after a couple of days of, you know, big St. Louis part. There's a great video. We'll put it up at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. A bunch of drunk idiot fans standing at the arch in St. Louis trying to push it over as they're celebrating. There's come on, guys, we're going to fucking take this thing down. There's like 12 guys standing there.
You sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sweet. Well, I think he's from St. Louis.
Okay, exactly.
Austria.
Come on, guys. Let's take this down.
They're just pushing on it. And it's like 12 times taller than that. But
the arch is even, honestly,
that's
the
arch, what I'm saying,
it's huge.
Yeah.
12 times taller than them. It's got to be 100 times taller than them.
We're going to push it over in celebration of our win.
Well, it's one of those things where you go, the Eiffel Tower. And then you get to the Eiffel Tower, and you're like, oh, my God.
But it looks flimsy.
For sure it does. Yeah. But then you look at what it's braced on, you're like, forget it, man.
Yeah, no.
There's no chance.
You want to talk a little about the upcoming NHL awards?
Okay, but before we do,
okay,
could I just finish on, and I'm not a real Bruins hater, but you start to sort of, you know, Bruins fans and Bruins media especially starts to grow on, you know, wear on you.
Yeah.
And this whole talk about, you know, Kelly Sutherland and the Achari thing, and you're like, oh, and it led to a goal, and we lost, and it's reffing. And you're like, fuck you guys, man.
There is no team or fan base in the league that's less able to complain about officiating.
For sure. Like, Kelly Sutherland is the same guy who watched McAvoy drive his chin right into Anderson's face in the Columbus series. Like in perfect positioning as he was here and not make that call.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, what? And then you look at Torrey Krug take a 100-foot run at Robert Thomas with no helmet on.
Right.
Right? If that's not a textbook charge.
I thought so too, man. But it was amazing how many of the hockey media types say, it's not really a, you know, he left his fucking feet after, like you said, skating from one end to the other, man. And he was into a glide by the time he got there. Yeah, because he was already doing 60 mile an hour.
Yeah, he'd already hit top speed. Right. Ben Johnson also decelerated at 90 meters. That's how that works, man. The human body only goes so fast.
Right.
So I'm like, don't give me that shit.
No.
You know, should it have been a penalty? For sure. Right? The Achari thing?
Yeah.
That's a penalty.
Yeah.
If it doesn't end up in a goal, we don't ever hear about it again.
Right? No, that's right. That's
so,
right.
So, too bad. It happened. But you guys have been on the receiving end of all these calls or non-calls, and you're like, get over it. Get over yourselves.
And there's been some talk, you know, coming out of the competition committee meetings that, you know, do we want to go further with video review? Do we want less of video review? And I guess, again, coming from Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts column, and we can throw that up in the usual places as well, he said there is no appetite for adding any sort of review to that Bozak on Achari place. That's a missed call.
That's
right. We're not doing something where you can go back and, you know, that's just, you're just going to have to live with it. That happens from time to time.
You can't review something that wasn't called.
Right. And it's interesting, and I don't know if this is the show to get into it on, but there's been some talk out there, and, you know, I was big on this during Toronto's series with Boston, where Toronto was the least penalized in the team in the league, and Boston's one of the most, and for some reason, we're ending every game at evens on power plays. And there's been some talk that because, despite the fact they will always deny it, refs will try to keep it close on power plays, that you are better off, if you're a team like Toronto, who fancies yourself good on the power play, even though that didn't really show up on the result. If you want and need more power play chances, you're better off to be like Boston, right? You're better off to slash and hook and whatever, knowing they won't call everything.
Right.
And let's both get six power plays, and I'll trust my penalty kill because my power play is better than yours, rather than us both get two, right? Like, you're better off to be driving that number up.
Because it helps us. It gives our number,
right,
pushes our number higher.
Yes. And that's an interesting thing. It's something I'm going to follow more closely as we get into next season. If it, you know, Toronto is one of those teams that, in theory, a lot of puck possession, a lot of speed, and not very physical, you should have more power plays than your opponent all the time. But that goes away immediately in the playoffs when they try and keep it close.
If I have possession of the puck 60% of the time,
I should be getting hooked and slashed.
Very clear. If you're defending more, you're taking more penalties.
So, you know, you're better off to be pushing those power plays up, even if that's not your style. So that's an interesting thing that, you know, some of these statisticians have been looking at and following. And, you know,
people much smarter than me, which there are many, said game seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
They put the whistles away.
Yep.
St. Louis is going to win.
Yep.
Right? If it's a parade to the penalty box, Bruins are going to win. Right? The only penalty that was called in that game was puck over glass.
Right.
Black and white call.
Yeah.
I got to call that. But
I don't have a choice. Yeah, that's, you know, I can't not call that, so I'm going to. But you're right.
But other than that, you can't tell me there wasn't another penalty in that game on either side.
Of course not.
So to me, you're like, psh, come on, guys.
The always riveting NHL Awards go Wednesday night in Las Vegas, full of C-level celebrities, as it always is.
Remember that guy who hosted last year was Sofia Vergara's husband.
I can't even watch these things anymore.
Okay, but he is the epitome of a C-level, a C-list.
Big hockey fan, and, you know, maybe we'll see. I know you were never big into The Office when it was on, but that was a thing during the finals. It was Jim Halpert's Boston Bruins versus Pam Beasley's St. Louis Blues.
I don't know any of those people.
Okay, and those are the two characters' names from The Office, and they ended up married at the end of the show, but the actor and actress have long since gone on to not have anything to do with each other until this, right? They're both known. So I'm sure they will be there, right, as a show that went off the air 8 years ago, and that's the top celebrity available to the NHL. John Kurzynski is his name. I forget what her real name is. Anyway, they have these shows now. They, for a long time, were in Toronto, hosted by Ron McLean and the CBC, and it was very stiff, right? It was very regal, Hockey Hall of Fame kind of thing. They moved it to Vegas and tried to make it more fun. It was something good for the athletes, like you could get more players to show up. to Vegas, which makes sense. But it's still a bad show. Like, it's a hard show to watch. I wonder, before we get into the actual awards, there's been some talk that maybe you should combine the Conn Smythe and the Hart. That maybe the MVP should, because all of these get cut off at the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
If Sidney Crosby, the nominees are Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, and
Kucherov.
For the MVP. If you allow that to go into the playoffs this year, it doesn't really change much because McDavid didn't make it and the other two didn't get past the first round.
Right.
But why are we, I think in some years the case is, why are we dismissing, you know, if I'm the best player in the league and I'm up against two guys who didn't make the playoffs, and then I went on to dominate for two rounds. Shouldn't that work in my favor? I think it's sort of the...
Yeah, it's hard because we have the Lindsay in there as well, right?
Yeah, which is MOP.
Right, which is also voted by players.
The players. This is why I always get all wound up. We do this every year, and the McDavid is clearly the best player in the league, but he didn't make the playoffs, so fuck him. And I'm sort of on that train because, as most valuable... You were obviously of no value. Your team didn't make the playoffs. They could have done that part without you.
Yeah, they could have had anybody in there and not made the playoffs.
Right. And the media gets all wound up. Well, maybe it should be MOP. Well, we already have one of those. Like, one is most valuable, one is best. Why are we so unable to wrap our heads around that? But that's a whole other fucking debate. To me, MOP, last 2 years, and for probably the wide majority of years moving forward, is going to be Connor McDavid. Not necessarily MVP. Why don't we work through some of these? And since we started with Hart, you know, this thing happened again, I guess. Connor McDavid didn't make the playoffs. As we said, Crosby and Kucherov did. They were both out early. Who's most valuable player in the NHL for you this year?
Yeah, valuable player to his team.
Yeah, and this is where it becomes...
This is it, right?
Yeah, I know.
Because
yeah.
To me...
Yeah, that's Sid for me.
Yeah, it absolutely is Sid.
Yeah.
Right? As the guy, like, you can remove Cooch from his team.
Yeah.
And they're still making the playoffs.
Stamkos point.
You can remove Connor McDavid from his team. They're still missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas you
Sid
take
changes
Sidney,
his.
For sure he does.
Yeah.
So to me.
Kucherov has a historic year in terms of number of points put up. This is one of those things where it gets. You know, if the Ted Lindsay voted on by the players is the most outstanding player, I think Connor McDavid's still going to win that. Sidney Crosby's probably got to win your most valuable, and Kucherov, who puts up 140 points or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, and I think...
gets nothing.
See, I think this year, I think what's really going to happen, though, is Kucherov is going to get both those.
You think so, eh?
Yeah.
I think he's more likely to get the Hart than the MOP. I think they're going to give McDavid the MOP, or the Lindsay again.
Yeah, I think they're going to look at his 128 or 130 points, whatever it was, and being so far ahead, they're going to say, yeah, that guy this year was the most outstanding player. To me, that's what's going to happen. He's going to be the Hart Trophy and the Lindsay.
Okay.
So we can skip that when it comes up later.
Fair enough. Why don't we talk then? We'll move on to the Vezina. That's got
Bishop.
Yep.
Vasilevsky.
Yep.
Lehner.
I think you're gonna see in this one Vasilevsky because Tampa was so dominant all year. But there's a lot of numbers that suggest in tight, high danger chances. Maybe he wasn't as good as Bishop. Lehner was a great story. I'm only ruling him out because of number of games. He had more of a 50-30 kind of thing going.
Yeah, he and Tomas Greiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are the Jennings Trophy winners. Yep. Is that not enough for you already, people?
Exactly. Everyone loves the Jennings. and I think he's probably going to win the Masterton, right? Robin Lehner, for what he's gone through this year.
For sure.
And rightfully so. So I think it comes down to Vasilevsky and Bishop. I have a feeling, based on the way Tampa did, that it will be Vasilevsky who gets it. But for me, man... that Dallas team was not very good.
I was
going
to say, I'm going the opposite direction.
Okay.
I'm going with Bishop in a 934 save percentage, I think.
And that's who it would be for me as well, but I don't think it will be.
Okay.
That's my point.
Yep. All right. So, well, then you and I are coming down on different sides on a bunch of these.
It sounds like.
But yeah, I just think that he has, Ben Bishop, that is, the lesser of the two teams.
Yep.
sparkling numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're going to have is, yeah, Vasilevsky is not going to get recognized due to the strength of his team.
Okay. I don't know that I wholeheartedly disagree, but I do think they're going to look at that team and how good it was during, you know, it's just a regular season award, and they were like, I think he's going to end up winning that.
But they did make it into the second round, and they went right to game seven with
Bishop and the Stars.
Yeah, yeah. Against St. Louis, right? To me, that was...
Ballots had already been submitted.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. No. So, I know, but you said...
You and I are both voting for Bishop. I don't think the rest of the league is.
Okay.
That's well, my...
All right, and I'm saying the rest of them are
okay.
Dunderheads.
Yep. Or they'd be here.
They'd be on this show for sure, right. Losers.
Norris, we had Brent Burns, had... where did I...
It's Burns, Hedman, Giordano.
I kind of feel like Giordano is going to take this.
Well, then there's the first one you and I have agreed on.
Well, we haven't, though. I guess the last one depends. We both agree it should be Bishop. I just don't think it will be.
Okay.
Giordano, the season he had in Calgary at the age that he did it, man, always been one of those.
74 points.
Yeah.
Plus 39.
You know, always been a good soldier, all that kind of stuff. Was good in his own end, played both ways. I think they're going to want to reward that guy. Hedman had a good year, not his best year, but battled a little bit of injury trouble, if I recall.
Right. And to me, Burns is exactly that same thing, too. Put up a lot of points.
I think he put up like 80, didn't he? Like something stupid.
It wasn't as high as it has been.
Almost a point a game, anyway.
For sure. But I think there was so much talk, and we'll get back to this when it comes down to the Calder as well.
Yeah.
I think from such an early period, there was so much hype on the Giordano bandwagon.
Yeah.
Right? People are saying, look at that guy. Right? Still doing it and having his best season.
Yes.
At his age. And like I said, the numbers are fairly gaudy.
Yeah. Right? No, absolutely.
So, including a league best plus 39 for whatever people think of that stat. Right?
Yeah. When it's that high, it's worth something.
Yes, well, there you go. So I like it as a baseline stat.
Yep.
Right? But when you do look at it and go, crazy.
I think there's been a lot more talk this year, maybe started by Drew Doughty, about Burns' defensive game, right? And, you know, was he not the one who said, I'm seeing Burns getting walked twice a night or whatever? Yeah.
Well, it's hard to see Burns getting walked because you're seeing Carlson getting walked. Well, you're like, well, that guy gets three times. That guy's twice. Mark Edward Vlasic should be the Norris, ladies and gentlemen, because somebody's...
What are your thoughts on, because this has been a thing for a while, certainly around Erik Karlsson, but all kinds of winners of this award, especially over the last 10 years or so, it's clearly been... given to...
The offenseman?
Yeah, the offensive defenseman, exactly. And there's been talk, you know, should we have the Adam Foote Award or whatever, right? Your defensive defenseman. To me, I have no
Adam
interest
Foote
in that.
Adam Foote is embarrassed by that by that award. Or maybe
the
not.
The Glenn Wesley Award.
Yeah, I don't know. You met the man. I did not. I maybe...
You know, we never talked about the idea whether he'd want that award named after him.
Okay. I just think that, yeah, a defenseman is... A guy like Adam Foote...
Yeah.
A guy like, you know, Anton Volchenkov, who, you know, guys who lead the league in hits and block shots.
Right.
They're like, you know what? Other players
understand. But you do it with forwards. You have the most points, most goals. You have these offensive awards and then a defensive forward award.
Yeah.
Why do we only go one way with defense?
And they've taken to calling it a two-way forward game.
Yes, they have.
Right? They're saying, which to me, it should be called the Bob Gainey Award.
I don't want to do it either, but I do kind of get the question, right, where we're doing this with forwards. Why not with the – because we're not necessarily –
Radko Gudas.
Sure. It's a recently traded Radko Gudas.
Yes. Very affordable.
Yeah. Radko Gudas. I like that deal a lot for Washington.
For sure.
It's interesting anyway, and maybe that's something we can come back to over the summer when things are fucking slow.
Man, you know what? We have the draft, and then we have free agency. Next thing you know, it's July.
Yeah.
This is just humming along.
True, man. Why don't we talk about the, since I just referenced it, the Selke Trophy, the much heralded Selke Trophy.
And to me, this is a great Selke class, of which I remember two out of three. For some reason, I'm pulling a blank. It's Mark Stone.
Yeah.
It is Ryan O'Reilly. and then it is somebody else.
Is it not Bergeron?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Well, let me just, you can just keep, well, Frank Selke is somebody nobody's ever heard of before or mentioned in the last 10 seconds. Patrice Bergeron. Mark Stone and Ryan O'Reilly.
The interesting thing there is Mark Stone has finally been getting a ton of play this year, but wingers never win this. It's always good face-off men, right? Good two-way defensive centers, whatever you want to call them. And Bergeron and O'Reilly are probably the poster boys for it this year, especially after having just faced off.
And I called it the Bob Gainey Award. That's for old people, right? Yeah. Bob Gainey, guy used to play in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Good two-way player, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's going to become the Bergeron Trophy because he's owned it recently. But if you look at, O'Reilly's face-off stats and his point totals, I'm leaning, and it's a recency bias, clearly, but I'm leaning towards Ryan O'Reilly.
I think they want to give it to Stone just to twist the knife for Sens fans just a little bit this year. He's out of Ottawa,
well, see, and that's a guy who, for anybody who doesn't get to see him, right, who isn't an Ottawa fan or now a Vegas fan, right? Yeah. He continues to lead the league in takeaways. Like he is the Datsukian, exactly where I was going to say. And so he's crazy good with that. And he makes every line he's on better. I think right at this moment you go, yeah, you got nominated. Good for you.
Yep.
Let's go to one of the two and we'll see.
Stalwarts.
Right. And you see what happens now moving forward if that gets him into the rotation regularly. And then again, to quote Drew Doughty, I deserve it. I'm due. Does that how this works? Do they start giving awards out because I'm due?
I think I'm super due.
Yeah.
When you start handing out the contracts that way.
This is it. When's my Selke coming? Because I am due.
Interesting again to remind people as they listen to this one, it was interesting to watch Bergeron and O'Reilly in the cup final, but votes went in at the end of the regular season before playoffs started. I have a feeling, as you said, this has been the Bergeron Award. Probably stays the Bergeron Award for me.
Okay, can we bypass the Lady Bing? Does anybody care?
Most gentlemanly player.
Yeah, no.
Austin Matthews.
I have no idea. Is he even up for it?
I have no idea.
Okay.
He gives a shit. I hope not.
It's people Barkov, it's Sean Monahan, and it's Ryan O'Reilly.
Wow.
Cats everywhere, man.
I'm going with Austin Matthews.
Okay. Bill Masterton, I think we
dedication
can,
to hockey, it's Robin Leonard.
Yeah. Well, and see, Nick Foligno, Robin Leonard, and Joe Thornton. Age can't be the...
I'm battling through being old.
Yes, exactly.
Retire, bitch.
Yes, this is it. Leonard with all of his mental health.
Yeah.
Substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nick Foligno, whose daughter has been suffering through a wide variety of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great trophy, and you love to see those guys acknowledged for perseverance through whatever it is, whether it's personal or family related issues, right? Those are that's one of those great awards where you can sort of put all the other bullshit aside.
Yeah, and it sucks in these ones to sit there and go, well, what that guy battled through.
Yeah, sorry, Nick, and your daughter. Who cares? Exactly. We really the Leonard thing speaks to us.
Yeah. So, but I do think because it was him specifically battling through it, the turnaround that the Islanders had, how public it was for me. I assume it's going to go to Leonard. But as you've said, not really a bad choice between the two. And then
right,
Thornton's we love Joe Thornton, so let's throw the bone.
And I'm not sure, maybe there's something else Joe's.
To be fair, I think he's had both knees replaced or something, is he not?
But again, see previous comments.
Retire, bitch.
Exactly. If you're 100, it should be a given.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That
beard's weighing you down.
For sure, this is it. Those knees are only meant to have one person on them. Lose the beard and you should be fine, Joe.
Yeah.
What about the Jack Adams, which to me is probably one of the most interesting of the awards in
Mike
terms
Babcock.
Of intrigue. Yes.
Leafs Twitter has taken to calling him Coach Corner Gas.
Okay, perfect. See? It's all turned, eh? Everything has turned on.
Oh, man.
It's a great opportunity. Yeah.
Well, they got good players, and we got good players, and we're going to have a good opportunity here tonight.
Yep.
So we have, for the Jack Adams, interim coach of the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, for now.
Craig Berube.
Yep.
John Cooper and Barry Trotz.
So I'm summarily dismissing John Cooper.
For sure, man. Your team had 187 points. You had nothing to do with that.
Right.
And then they flamed out, so clearly.
But the thing about it is, it's never, like, we never give this to a good coach who did a great job with a great team. It's always to a shitbird team that turned it around, and we just, well, must have been a new coach. Right?
Barry Trotz.
Yep. Come on down, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you've reduced your, but to me, you lose your best player on that team. Not his best player, because he wasn't there last year.
Yes.
But when John Tavares steps out the door.
God love you, John.
And you go, I guess we're going to bring in Buffalo's castaway goaltender.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, what do we have here? Matt Martin.
Leo Komarov.
And we're going to start bringing in Leaf castaways.
They're taking our cut. We'll take. Yeah, you do that.
Yeah. And this is, and you go, and we're going to reduce our goals against by 100.
Yeah. Insane, man.
And you make, and again, I know it doesn't count, but they were flirting with that division all season. Yeah, I love what Berube did.
I did too.
Now, clearly, he took over that team in November.
Yeah.
And they were still in last in January. So, to me, it's not exactly a Berube
combination of things.
As well as it is, maybe Yo was irritating and guys buying in.
Yep.
Guys figuring out what they need to do and going, I'm sick of sucking.
I think so, too.
Oh, no! I suck again!
This is Barry Trotz's award to win.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it comes down to Berube, and we'll see what happens. And it's probably best for Berube. And when do you think they stop calling him Chief?
Oof. Yeah.
You hear it all the time.
It's not okay.
Right? and it's, you know.
For those who don't know, native heritage.
Yep.
I don't know how.
Comes from Northern Alberta.
Don't know how okay it is to keep calling
honestly, him. Honestly, and throughout the playoffs, throughout the cup final, right? You're hearing people who know him, like people who are on a first name basis with him, right?
Yeah.
Played with him, were on coaching staffs with him, and they all refer to him as Chief.
Yep.
Right? And you go, okay, I personally am not offended by that.
It's not very Lady Bing of you.
But it's not my call.
No.
And I say lots of things that are. But. Yeah, I wonder when that stops, right? If you see that fade away next year as he's now.
I doubt it. I think this is one of those things that's going to be grandfathered. As long as he's around, he's keeping that. Whether or not more guys keep it after him, right? Like, he was called that as a player as
For
well.
For sure. Well, that's where it came from,
yeah,
right?
So
he was the guy. Did you see that story? It was on one of the games, and I know you weren't watching them all, but
I don't remember any feature on that.
There's a bunch, man.
Okay.
But they were talking about.
Sorry, I missed that.
They were talking about Keith Jones and Craig Berube both being Capitals playing against the Rangers, and Kiprios was out. So you're talking about Jones, who works for NBC.
Yeah.
Berube's on the – he's playing coaching, and then Nick Kiprios clearly on the panel for CBC.
Yep.
And Kiprios was out there taking advantage of Peter Bondra. and Berube's and Keith Jones is waiting to get out for his shift.
Yeah.
And when the guy who he was waiting to come off came, Jones says to Berube, "All right, you take the shift and go out there and sort out Kiprios." And so they had the clip of him going out there and
sorting it out,
filling in Kiprios.
Actually, I'm sorry I missed that one.
So. Yes, it was a pretty great story. But yeah, and so they were referring to him as Chief at the time too, right?
Yeah.
And again, you sort of go, ooh, you wince a little bit every time.
Not because you're offended, but you just know, I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who will be offended.
Exactly.
And that's their right.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you do your thing. You do you.
Yeah. Just do it quietly. I think that's it in terms of the big ones, right?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
That is the end of the big ones. Really, I'm not sure there is any other ones.
No.
If there's anybody for makeup or set design or best score,
audio production,
these sorts of things, right?
Over here, that's where I get
it. Exactly. Well, you work hard, man.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of stuff that happens on this side of the table that you do your best to mask.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, and I'm not sure if you had anything else on this show, but I'm interested in with the Raptors and all that's happened. I'm sure you've all heard by now that
they won.
The Raptors won.
Yeah.
But is it just me and you as a Maple Leaf fan?
Ooh.
Okay, and how good things have been and your regular seasons are unbelievable. Okay, but no, listen, I that wasn't a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
But
felt like one.
How much of this season or even how much of last season, and this is going to dovetail in nicely to how short your window of winning is before you're like, oh my God, our window is closing, right? That the Raptors win and the next day they're like, will Kawhi sign? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are we like, does nobody enjoy a championship anymore? Like as Leaf fans, I'm sure you guys must already be looking at going, God, fucking Skinner gets $9 million and Marner's going to get $11 million and how are we going to fit all this in? And you're like, we haven't even won anything yet. And you're already not.
I don't think those two relate to each other, but I see your point.
No, and they only relate to each other because it's like nobody enjoys.
No, that's right.
The championship anymore. It's like, as I said, the correlation is the Leafs haven't won, and maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Right, right.
But I'm saying it's already like
are people out there who say the Leafs window is closed now. You didn't win with any of those guys on entry level. It's done.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
No, I don't either. But as you're suggesting, it's out there. And people can't. I can tell you that despite having maybe my favorite player in the league, at worst, my second favorite player in the league, sign with Toronto this year and come home and be awesome, I did not enjoy this season at all.
Right.
It was all the Willie thing's never going to get sorted out. And then people hated that deal. And oh my God, can we do Matthews? And oh no, that one's too high. And then the next day, Marner's.
There's no discount on a 5-year contract there.
Marner's agent is coming out and going, well, if they're going to give Matthews that, then my guy gets easily. And this sucked. This was not fun at all. And that was before we got to Boston for round one, right? This season sucked. It's hard to enjoy everything. And I've said this on the show before, both with Maddie and I think with you. The reason it was so easy to jump on the Raptors bandwagon is because I don't know anything.
Or care. Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I was in it because I was enjoying the run. I was watching the reaction that some of my fans who are bigger fans or my friends who are bigger fans than me.
We're all just fans of you, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, the reactions they were having, the city was getting swept up in it. But I'm not sitting there going, oh, that's too many minutes for that guy, or I wouldn't have run that play, because I don't know, right? Whereas I sit now, and this is my own fault, but like I used to love a lot more. I used to enjoy watching Leaf games a lot more when it was just cheer when your team scores and you find yourself almost getting two.
Or when you were overachieving.
Sure. Yeah. But now, like, even years ago, right? Like, before Twitter and before analytics and before whatever. Like, I think I always would have been smart enough to have been upset by Matthews only playing 17 minutes in a game 7. But I wouldn't have been.
Everybody is.
But I wouldn't have sat there and been quite so interested in Marlowe's time or like little things like that. And so, no, this wasn't fun. And Raptors fans are, a lot of them, not enjoying this. They're already looking at, and I saw a great tweet that said, I don't care if Kawhi misses the parade because he's got a meeting with the Clippers to negotiate his contract. This is awesome. He brought us the title.
Yeah.
Have a good time, man. Go where you want to go.
And this is, and I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I am slightly above indifferent about the Raptors. I watched it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing, right? And I love the We the North thing. I do. But I don't really care. And at the end, you go, yeah, great. Toronto won. And it really is the only team in this country. And it's the one team we have, and you sort of, yeah, it's great, perfect. But then, man, I turned it off and started snoring within minutes. Like, I'm not jacked up by it. I am not.
So I was probably a little more than that, but obviously well down from the hardcores, right? I did. I found myself getting engaged a little bit. And I think I was just enjoying, you know, those Bob McCown on the radio was saying that, and he wasn't wrong. As you're looking out at the Jurassic Parks all over the country and the reactions after the games as streets are filling up, and he goes, I don't know what the number is that are the hardcore fans. I don't know what the number is that are the casual fans. But there's a bunch of people in there that just like a party, right?
For sure.
We're having a good time with this. This is something that we can all do together.
Party.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not wrong about that. So we'll see. I assume Raptors ratings will go up next year, but not to what we were seeing. Like, we were seeing Olympic numbers by the end of...
For sure.
Yeah, of Game 6 there in well, Oakland.
And because things have changed so much since that 92 Blue Jays win,
yeah,
right? It's your availability and how easily you can access information and coverage.
Right.
Right? Changed from, I got to watch it on CTV or I'm not getting it anywhere, right?
Yep.
Like, you couldn't go anywhere on the TV the other night and not find it
right.
Last week when the Raptors won,
yes.
Right? It's on TSN. It's on CTV. It's everywhere, right? It's on NBC or CBS.
CBS, yeah.
But it's everywhere, right? And so it's just more accessible these days too now.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I hope Raptor fans are enjoying this. Because like I said, the comparison I ran there with the Leafs, obviously the Leafs lost, but this was not a fun season. You had as fun of a season as you could have. You had the superstar... You had the exciting playoff run. You had the crazy finish to Game 7 in the second round, and you have the championship. It won't get better.
Right.
So enjoy this.
Yes, like, and really, it was twofold, my statement, right? First was, yes, that there's this level of, yeah, we've won.
Yep.
What's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. Enjoy this offseason
yeah,
and enjoy
the parade,
all that. And then, yeah, the second point was, as you further push that down the road, you go, yeah, Leafs, after, you know, now they're now on the clock, right? As the longest team without a win.
Yep.
Right? And you go, you got a good team.
Yep.
Right? But how many people will be looking all through next season going, yeah, we don't really care if we...
Nothing matters till game one, April 12th or whatever.
If we flatten Ottawa or Montreal, because they're the crappiest teams, Detroit, I was trying to think of another Eastern Conference team. But yeah, you're like, if you run those teams over in November, right, are you thinking ahead to a showdown with Tampa or Boston again? And your season means nothing to you.
Yep.
And you go, yeah, great. Man, we're having success. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Austin Matthews scored 2 goals tonight. Okay, I can't wait for his 16 minutes in Game 6 against Tampa or whatever. That's the feeling, man.
And this is it. And that's a shame,
really. Of course it is. That's what I'm saying. That's so much less fun.
But what happens here is, yes, once your team is in decline,
yeah,
and then what? And you're like, oh, I guess we're rebuilding. I guess it's rebuilding now. You're like, but you didn't even get to enjoy the ride that just happened here without worrying about. And maybe I am, and good listener, maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe only I see it that way. Maybe there are a bunch of people who are just carefree and loving the game for what it is.
Oh, I think they're out there. I do. I think they're out there. But I'm not sure they're the majority anymore, right? Like, I think, as you've said, as access to information, as we've become fans in both sports who understand the cap more and rebuilding more and the business more, you're seeing it in baseball. It's killing baseball. The people just know.
They still blame baseball?
Yeah. The people know this is not my team's time and they're not trying this year, so I'm not going to watch and I'm not going to go.
That's why there's 8,000 people in the stands.
Right. And it's killing them, right?
Orioles,
so when your team is
Marlins.
Up, you better find a way to enjoy it, right? And I think that was part of this run with the Raptors for me was I didn't know as much. I wasn't quite as invested. And I'd sit back and I'd cheer when they'd score and I'd boo when a foul went again. Like, fuck that. Do I know? No. But
And is there anything more muted than the end to a basketball game? Oh my God.
The end of that one.
That was just like, do we cheer?
Yeah. Did we win? All Twitter said, did we win? Like, this is so fucking Toronto. This is supposed to be the jump up and down, but we're having a discussion on how much time and what's the... Fuck, that sucked, the end of that game, man.
Yeah. But basketball lends itself to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, the last 3 minutes should not take 40 minutes to play.
Well, and how many people, you know, were roasting Draymond Green for calling a timeout and taking a technical because they didn't have a timeout? Yep. If he doesn't do that, the game ends. The buzzer goes, and that's the end of it. So, yes, he gets teed up. Yes, he doesn't have a timeout to give. And, yes, it means he's out of game 7. But the team, maybe he stopped the clock soon enough to get something done, right?
Yep.
And it turned out it didn't work. But for all the people who don't understand that, and I'm not the ins and outs of basketball, but I'm looking at that going, that guy might have just saved their season, and he's getting roasted.
Well, and that is that it comes down to Kawhi only sinks one of those two free throws.
You're alive.
And then away you go.
Yep.
So, to me, is, and we talked about it when AJ was here, right? When you have Klay Thompson and you have Steph Curry, and how much the game has changed over the last 10 years away from that, put the ball in tight and let somebody slam it home. Like, how many slam dunks did you see?
Yeah, not many.
Right. It's become this skilled perimeter shooting or back to the jump shot, right? Back to this sort of finesse and skill style game. And is Draymond Green not the perfect addition to Thompson and Curry?
Right.
Right. KD aside.
Yeah.
Right. But you go, that guy who's a great ball distributor defender like a mofo, right? Yeah. Like you go, he's the guy you need for those two nice guys. Because you listen to Steph and Klay talk.
Yeah, it's hard to hate Steph.
And especially. You're like, man, those are good guys. Look at those guys, man.
They're trying to get him all fired up. What do you think about the fans booing Toronto? I spent time as a kid in Toronto. That's not the city I know. So moving on.
Yeah, that's not the quote we wanted, man. Yes,
exactly.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, what is this? And that's what Draymond brings, right? Yeah. And so to me, yeah, he's savvy. And people hate him. But man, he's a good basketball player.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And you come away going, man, I really appreciate what he does when you get to see it on a regular basis.
Brad Marchand.
Oh, I love Brad Marchand too.
Yeah. Why don't we wind this one down, man? We've covered a lot of ground here. The Father's Day edition of Audio Whiplash was a lot of fun. Turns out most of us millennials are useless tits compared to our fathers.
For sure.
Check that out at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter and Instagram at tallcanaudio. A lot of people like to go back, have the beer, or check out the beers that we were drinking. Those all get posted at tallcanaudio on Instagram, like I said. So we'll get out of here on that one. Make sure you stay tuned. Exciting time of year. All kinds of hockey shit about to go down. We got the draft. We got free agency. We got all this huge RFA class we've been talking about for months. Intrigued to see how that's going to go. Marner, still not signed. That's Tall Can Sports.
See
you. Catch you later.
Listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.